Get a hold of Steve and didn't realize he'd be leading the prayer tonight, but Clint called me this afternoon and told me that his sister passed away shortly after lunch today, and that the services are pending and they won't know anything till tomorrow. But anyway, she had a long, hard battle with cancer, and this was the second time that she had battled that, and certainly we want to remember the family in our prayers. I know that's a very difficult thing for a young person, 30 years old, and it's a tragedy. But God in His wisdom always knows what's best, and there's a reason behind everything that happens, and we may not always grasp it or understand it. You know, God challenges each and every one of us, whether we're in a dilemma, as we've been speaking about here tonight, or whatever situation we may find ourselves engulfed in. And we are to reach out to God, to reach out to Him. As a matter of fact, if we don't reach out to Him, we will be left out. We will. Have you ever stopped to think about all the people that really reached out to Jesus in His ministry and the ones to whom Christ really favored and blessed? And He blessed people in a number of ways. And I want you to turn tonight in your Bibles. And if you don't have your Bible, you can just shift your eyes conveniently up here, because we're going to move to the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. And I know it's a little bit lengthy reading, but I can't think of anything that would be more intriguing and more important for us to read, be it lengthy, than the Word of God. And so we're going to begin in verse 21. And the Bible says, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, many people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Him, he fell at His feet. And he besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went unto him, and many people followed him, and even thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, that he came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in that press of people and said, Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and why would you say, Who touched me? But it was that woman with the issue of blood. And in verse 32, the Bible continues, And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came another ruler of the synagogue, how certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any longer or further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado, and why do you weep? For the damsel is not dead, but she sleepeth. And they laughed him at scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. You know, I've come to believe that there are two things in life. Two things in life that people seek more than anything else. If I were to ask you that question tonight, would you know what they are? Or could you in your mind's imagination perceive probably the two things that people desire more than anything else? Well, let me share them with you. They are help and they are hope. There are so many times in our lives when we need help from other people. And there are those times when we seek hope as well. I think Jairus, who came to Jesus, was looking for both. He was looking for help for his daughter. But he was also looking for hope when he believed that all hope was gone. And the woman who had had problems with her menstrual cycle, and there was that issue of blood that had continued for over a period of 12 years. And she felt that there was no longer any hope. She knew that if she could just touch Jesus or even the garments of our Lord as he passed by in that throng of people, that perhaps even the virtue of our Lord, just touching him, she could be made whole. There are three things that I believe when I think about the hope and help that we all see. There are three things tonight that I want to share with you from this text that I believe are extremely important. One of them is that we need to give hurting people the addition of our presence. You know, sometimes just being in the presence of other people when they're hurting means so much. There have been times when I have gone to members of the body of Christ and other places as well, when a death has occurred or when someone is gravely ill, and maybe not said anything at all, just stood quietly for a few moments, but just to be present. You know, our presence when people are hurting means a lot. This woman needed help, and Jesus helped because she believed in her Lord. She had a continual hemorrhaging disorder for 12 years, 52 weeks out of the year. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how emaciated this woman must have been? She had been under the care of physicians. And the Talmud actually tells us that there were about 11 different choices of treatment for this condition, but none of them worked. And she's at a point of being hopeless. She's now broke, for the Bible says that she spent all of her money, all of her living, with the doctors of her day. She didn't have an affordable health care plan. No Blue Cross Blue Shield of Jerusalem. She didn't have Obamacare. She didn't get better. She just got weaker. And the very thing that she needed was the compassion that could come from Christ. She needed someone to say, I feel with you and I feel for you. Sometimes I think maybe in our congregation, or perhaps maybe in the city of Palestine, or perhaps maybe even in your own neighborhood, there are those much like this woman who need compassion and who need love. You know, I received a call on Friday, and I know it's your competition, Ben, but from Harrington, Land of Memory, asking me if I would conduct a memorial service tomorrow for a gentleman I did not even know. That's not the first time. As I've told you many, many times, for every member of the church whose memorial service I conduct, there are generally about three, sometimes four, outside of the church that I conduct. It's amazing how many people are not connected to the church or to God in any way. I told them I'd be happy to do it. You know, I've never really turned down a family who had requested my presence and to speak at a memorial service for their loved one. Jesus didn't either. Jesus was always there. Remember the story of Lazarus and his two sisters? They're troubled because Lazarus is dying. And they summon for Jesus just to have him present. I would ask you tonight, is there someone in your life right now who needs the care that only you can give? It may be a little woman in your neighborhood. It may be a little woman in the church who need the addition of your presence. Someone said, sometimes the greatest gift that you can give to someone is your presence. That is the presence of a loving soul and a heart that is willing to listen. And do you know what? It will have positive, it will, positive impact on those people. But there's a second thing that you and I need to do. Not only should we give them the addition of our presence, but we need to give the hurting people of our world, our family, our friends, our neighborhood, the attention of our mind. Now, in this story, when Jairus comes to Jesus, Jesus does not push him to the back burner. And even though Christ had an agenda, like all of us have agendas, Jesus never said to the hurting, could you wait until tomorrow? Or couldn't we take care of this at a later time? But Jesus was always there. For the Bible says, and when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Jesus got off of that boat, and the people gathered. And Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. Now think about this. It was really uncommon for a ruler of the synagogue to approach a master as was Jesus. For he was the most important man in town. The crowd backed away from Jesus, because he now belonged to Jairus. He was the focal point of our Lord. Now this woman still believed she could touch Jesus. All this is going on simultaneously. When she heard about Jesus, it was her desire to get to him as well. For she heard that Jesus was the one who could provide for her those two things that we seek most of all. The help and the hope that we all desire. For in the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10 that this Jesus went about doing good. And she had heard of that. That wasn't just an epitaph engraved on the stone of our Lord Jesus, but it was his way of life. Sometimes we get so busy, we don't take time to be a blessing. You know what? We always ask God to bless us. We do. But how seldom do we become that blessing to other people. Jesus knew that the power had gone out from him. He could have kept walking on. He had a busy schedule with Jairus. He approached him first. But he didn't. He just stopped in his tracks right where he was. Now, that's not to say Jesus, when he asked this question, "Who touched me?" This is a rhetorical question, a question of rhetoric, because Christ knew that this woman touched him. For he's omniscient. He could say to certain disciples at times, or perhaps many of the throngs of people who gathered to ridicule him and intimidate him, "Why reason you these things in your heart?" Jesus could look into the heart, into the mind of man, and know what he was thinking. But he asked the question, perhaps for the woman's sake, "Who touched me?" He said, "I'm not going anywhere until I receive my wholehearted attention to this person." When have you taken time to give your wholehearted attention to someone in need, someone who hurts? You know, we get up here every Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we'll do it again tonight because it's tradition with us, and we announce the names of those who are sick and those who are hurting, even the names of those who have lost loved ones. Wouldn't it be wonderful to saturate those families with cards and calls? Can you imagine what that would do to that postman who delivers those cards? What's going on here? Or perhaps even to the Satterwhite family this week. Can you imagine what it would do for them? We have to listen. Listen is so important. Are you paying attention to those who cry out? But there's a third thing you need to know. We need not only to give our attention and our presence, but we need to give hurting people the affection of our heart. Now, there are two things that happened in this story and in this particular situation that never happened before, nor did they ever happen after in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. For in this case, Jesus healed someone before he knew them. So that tells me that our response to the hurting doesn't necessarily have to be someone we know. But we reach out to them anyway. And Jesus never ever hesitated to help the hurting. Again, he went about doing good, Acts 10, verse 38. I think you taught us a lesson we should never ever think about how much time it will take. Sometimes people are willing to give a little time, but not a lot. And we all use that flimsy excuse of saying, "Well, I'm just too busy." Never ask how much time it will take or how much money it will cost. All this woman ever heard for 12 years was that she was unclean. And she was a recipient of, I don't know how many, disgusting, repulsive, and intimidating looks in the society of her time. And so she reached out to Jesus. You reach out, or you left out. You see, Jesus reaches out to those who reach out to him. There's something else in this story that's extremely important. It reveals something that you may have never, ever considered. This is the first time that Jesus ever called a woman daughter. God reaches out to us, but we have to reach out to Him. You know, the Bible says that Jesus really initiated all of this. Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. He reached out to us in love. He gave us His presence. He came and lived among mankind here upon this earth. He stood with us. He knows what we feel when we hurt. He knows when we're sick. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like when we face death and when we lose those that we love. In that grim hour, He does. And so we must continue to reach out to Him or be left out. It is so true. I would challenge you this week to reach out, not only to Him, but to reach out to others as well. To do what you can to be of help with your presence, with your time, and with your heart. You know, sometimes we never really get a lot of thought to that. But you know, when I read the book of Matthew chapter 25, and I read how Jesus really depicts the judgment day, and all of us talk about the judgment day every now and then, it's always uppermost in my mind. But when I read about that judgment day, I'm reminded that many of the things for which we will be judged are the very things that we're talking about here tonight. I was sick, and You ministered to me. I was in prison, and You came unto me. I was hungry, and You fed me. I was naked, and You clothed me. And many will say, Lord, when did we see You that way? And Jesus says, inasmuch as You have done it unto one of the, listen to this, the least of these, You have done it unto me. Someday we'll stand before God to face that judgment. Have you ever thought about it? Where is your soul going when you die? Where will you depart to? Where will you be? It's a question I think maybe every one of us ought to entertain in our minds. Because it is a question that confronts us. Whether you want to confront it or not. If you're not a Christian tonight, it's something you ought to entertain in your mind. Am I prepared for the judgment? Am I ready? And have I helped other people? Am I doing my part to give them my presence, my time, and my heart? And if you're not, then why not make a change in your life tonight? Back up, start all over again. And with God's help, rearrange your schedule. You know, just about every one of us and I could really rearrange our schedule. Nothing's really set in stone with us. It's not. And I hope you'll think about those people that we mentioned this morning that are ill and those that are sick and those that have died. And if you're not a Christian tonight, would you, out of great love for God and respect for Him, reach out to Him with your faith. Confess your belief in Jesus to be the Son of God, and by being baptized tonight, allow God to remove all of your sin stains. It's the way that it happens. He's ready to do it if you reach out to Him while we stand and while we sing.